Just gonna stand there eating that sushi all night? You haven't even looked at my photorealistic macaroni sculpture.
It's Who Arted with Creative Messiah, Amy Ralphini.
This morning on the show we have Greta Anderson, who has recently got an exhibition on at Two Rooms Gallery in Tupuki Street. Hi Greta, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
So your latest show, No Hoarding, is on until the 15th of September. It features quite a lot of marbles. What inspired that subject matter for you this time around?
Well, this show is called No Hoarding because I went into my daughter's school, Lenny, who's 12, and I saw on the whiteboard a sign handwritten by the teacher, No Hoarding. And
I love that, by the way.
Yeah.
Was it like, did it have a vibe? It was like, no hoarding, like a rule number one.
Well, no, they don't have rules at any school because it's a democratic school. And,
wow.
You know, so it's a sort of a, you know, a alternative progressive type of school. And things like hoarding, that's not cool at any school. They're taught to be very sharing there. And so I also have a hobby where I collect titles. I have a sort of a list on my phone, Greta Anderson's The Science of Naming, and I collect band names and titles and book titles and invent titles for things. So I wrote down No Hoarding.
Wait.
Yeah.
So your title collections, are they, they're just things you've found? They're not necessarily collecting book names, or are you making them up?
I'm making them up, or I would maybe read something
like
in
no
a book,
hoarding.
In a novel, yeah. And just take a little slice of a couple of words and put those into the list, or, you know, most of them are band names or song titles, but I can go into exhibition titles, you know, company names, and
another question.
Yeah.
Do you think this stemmed from you being in a band? Because I do think often people in bands go, "Oh, that would make a good band name."
It definitely stemmed from being in a band. I've been in some bands that I haven't named, and one of them was Blue Marbles, actually. So I've had a long connection with Blue Marbles. So that was an all-girls band from 90s. Yep, early 90s.
Because you're a Generation X artist, aren't you?
Yes, the best generation. Then named a few bands that I've been in and named a few bands that I haven't been in. So
what bands have you named that you haven't been in? Can you disclose?
Yes, I can, actually.
Did you name Shane Carter's band, Shane Carter? Just kidding.
Yeah, I named him, Shane Carter. That's not his real name. I named The Adults.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you've heard of them.
Yes, I have.
Yeah. And I named Avoid Avoid. I don't know if you've heard of them.
No, but that is really cool.
Yeah, that is actually cool. I want both those names back, actually. I kind of think, look, you can borrow them.
Yeah. You can make them cool.
You can borrow them. And if you do want to buy them, that's a gift basket to me. I haven't received a gift basket either of those.
I know what you mean, right?
Yeah.
Where's your kudos?
Yeah. You got to get your own, bring your own kudos sometimes. Yeah. And then Lenny explained to me no hoarding, and that's no, you can't hoard the marbles. And actually I talked to Mary Louise, who curates Two Rooms, about that. She said, that's not fun. That's the whole thing about playing marbles, is hoarding them. And, that's the kind of idea I was running with, was that hoarding starts with something as innocent as playing marbles and wanting to collect those beautiful glass-coloured, you know, round objects. Mm. And then where does it lead to, you know?
Objects of desire. Perhaps that's where art becomes, first formulates in a child's... No, I don't.
Not just art. I just see it as being a, you know, where does hoarding begin? It begins with marbles, and some people can contain that desire to collect, and other people, and what are these things we want to collect? Marbles is kind of an innocent, glass is renewable and all that sort of thing, but then we can get into gold, collecting cars, collecting jet skis, collecting houses.
Do you know a jet ski collector? I imagine there might be a few jet ski collectors in Hamilton. I don't know why, I just think that they'd hang out there.
No judging the jet ski collectors, but yeah. So there's just something to think about with hoarding. And then there's other things in the show that aren't really attached to that name, but that title, but they could be. So in the rest of the objects in my show, they are photographs of objects, most of them.
Except for the one foal.
Yeah, which is hiding. That foal's hiding in the office.
Oh, is it? Wait, wasn't it out?
No, it's been hidden because it doesn't really... Well, you can hoard horses, yes, you can. But no, that's hiding in the office.
How'd come in my mind, I thought that was on the wall, the back wall to the right of the gallery. I've imagined that.
Yeah, you did.
What's in the back wall on the right then, when you walk
a
in?
Piano.
That's right,
it's a
covered
grand piano. With a little cover on it, like a kind of sleeping bag cover thing. The other objects are all plastic objects, also sort of from a child's collection.
Yeah.
So beautiful kind of shapes that I liked, and green, you know, the colours that I liked. And
the way you've presented them in your style of photography, is this day for night photography style? It's not, is it?
I think I can still say that I'm still working in the day for night thing. The day for night sort of came from, I talked to somebody about this. But
probably me.
Yeah. I think it came from National Geographic. I've always been a massive fan of National Geographic photography.
Yeah, that's right. You know, yeah.
Yep. Just read one on the toilet this morning, actually.
About really?
Romanian gypsies. Yeah.
Wow.
But I started to see that they had this amazing richness to the photography, that I wanted to find out how you achieved that. And I started playing around with on-camera flash, and I got this thing going with using flash, fill flash, during the day, and then you underexpose the ambient light. And then I would take that even further to really underexpose the ambient light. And that's the day for night technique that I use. And now it's just so underexposed that it's black. Yeah.
Yeah, yes, I totally love it. Well, I think what's really nice about how that ties in with this latest collection that you've presented is the no hoarding, the instructional nature of the title, and then the style of photography, and the way the objects actually just end up kind of not oscillating because they're not actually moving, but being suspended in this dark space, creates this magic and this kind of sense of discovery and wonder that's almost like the stars in the sky, you know, and especially with the way the marbles are presented, kind of patterned, almost like constellations in a way, kind of like constellations they could be. And then you've got these big kind of plastic, almost abstract shapes that could also be floating in space, and it has this really just quite a beautiful take on, well, obviously on these very simple, tangible images that we all connect to from when we were younger, especially with the plastics, because they look like they're that thick, heavy kind of plastic, which is what you do see with the children's type toys.
Yeah. Well, the do you remember Cuisinaires? I've actually got some in my bag. They're plastic counting objects, and I actually stole from Lenny's school again. I was in there, and
again, have you been told off for this? And I know those.
Okay, that is the number 10, and that's orange.
To describe this to our listeners, it's a long piece of plastic. The orange colour would be, I'd say this looks like a K bar, only it's not flat like a K-bar. It looks just like an orange K-bar. I feel really compelled to put it in my mouth and eat it. And it also looks like the old school kind of numbers and letters that you would have had to stick on the fridge, that kind of plastic, that kind of edible-looking, chewable, delicious-looking plastic.
So these have been around since the 70s. So plastic has been around. Well, we know that it's been around a long time. And these colours of the cuisinaires are just beautiful.
So I would have been little in those.
Yeah, and these would have been precious, you know, to kids. And, you know, I was just thinking, like, the plastic objects in my show, that those are titled artefacts. And I'm just thinking that one day they will be artefacts. And I'm actually looking forward to that. I hope I'm around, because plastic is beautiful and amazing, but it's a twilight substance, you know, and one day it will be in museums, and hopefully we'll be around still to go, yeah.
That time humanity really kind of screwed everything up and almost made ourselves extinct.
Yeah.
There's some of the evidence. The early evidence when there was this, like, just exploration, wild exploration into the convenience of it.
And it's actually precious. It is actually precious. As precious as diamonds and gold. But, you know.
It is, actually. Yeah. Wow, I love that. And you know what? In thousands of years, they will be mining for it, because they'll dig down.
Not me.
And find layers and layers of landfill.
And they'll still be there.
They'll be the number 10s with the little magnet stuck on the back.
Yep.
Although, having said that, I've heard that people are digging, that there might be potentially digging into landfills to get the plastic back out.
And use it.
You reuse it.
Yes.
Because there's many real massive bummers about plastic, is that it's just so bloody toxic. And it leaches, even the recycling process leaches toxins. And I'm also wondering, with these biodegradable plastic bags I'm seeing everywhere, whether or not this is another twilight potential, not twilight, but whether or not this is another kind of, like, it's biodegradable, but it's like, has anyone actually tested how toxic this biodegradable plastic is? Because is it okay to put in your food compost? Because it's great. It's a great idea, but what's actually, is it worse than the lead paint that used to be on the houses?
Or asbestos. Or good point, Amy.
Yeah, good point there.
Google that.
Yeah, well, I you know, yeah.
Getting heavy.
Yeah, it's getting a bit heavs. So I was at the opening and some, want of a better word, art stirrer.
Yeah.
Suggested that you'd clear cut every single marble and rearrange them in Photoshop.
Yeah.
Did you?
I may have. I may not have. Yeah, I may have and I may not have. And I think that there'll always be those people there that would like to find out. And I always like to ask, you know, how did you do this? But often people will like to keep things to themselves, because it's their little...
Well, it's the magic, isn't it?
It's their little magic that they've sort of discovered. Not that there's any great huge secret, but I may have and I may not have. And sometimes I may do that and sometimes I may not do it.
Yeah, and also what does it matter, really? One more question before we go. Ovals. Have you ever thought about presenting your work in oval shapes?
I'm very attracted to ovals. I've never thought about it.
Have I spoken to you about ovals before?
No.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. I've got a thing.
I like ovals. They are quite... I think they come from an era, say maybe my grandmother's era, ovals do. Yeah.
You can get some beautiful antique oval frames.
Yeah, no, they're gorgeous.
They're really annoying for photographers, but the kind of photography you could do, you do, it would be fine.
I have an addiction to the 8x10 format. I don't know if the ratio of all my pictures are 8x10, and I don't know if that will change. Maybe.
I see ovals as a potential anarchist of art shapes at the moment.
Do you?
No one's using it. And it also, it just breaks away from, we're really obsessed with...
squares.
Yeah. And the TV and everything. And art is just, if it's on the wall, it's going to have to be a square. It's like, actually, ovals are a lot more fluid and there's not a beginning. They're just softer and...
Yeah, you're right. They're more organic. They're more,
Your seminal work, which you haven't actually exhibited yet, the $2...
Oh, yeah, Tonga.
Yeah. That would be great in an oval.
It would be. It would be absolutely beautiful.
Can you imagine?
With a gold frame. I love it.
Anyway, look, that's all we've actually got time for today.
No.
But I highly recommend going up, checking out Greta's work. It'll be on for another couple of weeks.
Yeah, it finishes on the 15th.
And
September.
That's it. Two rooms, which is on 16 Putiki Street in Newton. Go to tworooms.co.nz for more info. Or I think, Greta, your best visual feed online is your website, isn't it? GretaAnderson.co.nz?
GretaAnderson.com.
Oh, great. Fantastic.
Yep.
Thank you so much for coming in and chatting with me today.
Thank you.
Ooh, I like this.
Trey chic.
Trey cool.
Touché.
Chin chin.
That was Who Arted with Amy Ralphini.